This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest preview podcast for what will be the last time this season. You know what that means. It's gin and tonic time. I say it's gin and tonic time. I had an away day with work today and then didn't really think about it. So what I currently have is gin. It's lemon drizzle gin. No ice.
You can't even get a fucking gin and tonic right.
And one of my daughter's little apple juice boxes that I've squeezed
into. I mean, that is not the weirdest thing.
Look at it.
Mate, that's going to come out looking exactly as it's gone in.
I don't know, wait. It's going to taste
lemon drizzle gin and apple juice.
I mean, it tastes lovely because it's full of really packed sweet apple juice. Yeah. Mm.
Wow. Lemon drizzle gin.
Yes.
Can you top that? I can top it in the sense that I'm not having lemon drizzle gin and apple juice.
Yeah, you have actually done better than Terrence. Yeah, that's the amazing thing. By doing no effort at all.
Yeah. I'm a disappointment also, though. No gin. I was out last night for Vanessa's birthday and had a decent amount of alcohol. So I just had a beer.
Happy birthday,
today.
Vanessa.
Happy birthday, Vanessa.
Yes, indeed.
And I had a beer, and now I'm just drinking water. We can pretend it's gin, if you want, but it's not.
Outrageous.
Sorry.
We'll have to do the opening day of next season's podcast for the opening preview. Try and get in a studio together and just force gin down him, see what happens.
Great. Can't wait. I'll still predict that we're going to finish 17th, don't worry.
Well, you say that. Of course, at the start of the season, on the first podcast of the year, we do our predictions for the season, where we go, what do? We do league position, top goal scorer, most assists, player of the year, number of clean sheets, and an outrageous prediction. So we're going to open the envelope and revisit those today. And rather annoyingly, Samuel Hesketh has predicted 11.
Oh! Let's go. Don't fuck it up, Palace.
Which is, at the beginning of the season when we did this, I did say, how do we finish 11th when we lose every week? weird predictions you've got going there.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he predicts for the Forest game, knowing that,
you know, 11th's at stake.
He'll need to predict the win to guarantee his beginning of season predictions right, but he'll have to fight the urge to.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't want to
start chewing on that one now.
Yeah, all right.
Albert, it gets progressively worse for us. You said 9th.
Hey, it's not far off.
And in defense of mine, I did say on the podcast, I think I might be a season too early with this, but just in case I'm not, I'll go with 7th. So 7th's got to come next season. So remind me on the
opening day. I'll go seventh next year.
You need to start drinking more normal alcohol.
That's the lemon drizzle talking, that is.
That's the lemon, yeah, talking shizzle.
Our top scorers, exceptionally far off. I went Zaha with 16, and you, Albert, went Zaha. No, sorry, Heskip went Zaha with 15.
Yeah.
It looked on in the early part of the season.
It did.
But he's got none, basically, since the World Cup, has he? Has he got one since the World Cup?
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about Albert's. You remember what it was?
I know. I think I said Edouard.
Mm-hmm.
And did I say, I don't think I went as high as you lot. Did I say 13?
13, that's right.
Oh, wow.
To which my response
was... There's one game left.
To which my response was, I doubt he'll play 13 games, which is probably about what's happened. So, yeah, a bit far off there. What is it? Is it Eze with 10? Has he got 10?
Yeah.
Eze, sorry. Assists.
What's Edouard got?
Six.
Six, yeah.
One good game. One good game on Saturday. Sunday, sorry. Definitely won't score any on Saturday.
Assists. Heskiff and I both went Eze with 8 and 9, and Albert went Zaha with 8. So,
well, I mean, if Ebbs had played as much as he should have, then he would have got them, Terence, wouldn't he?
How many assists has he got? 4? I think it's 4.
I don't know.
I think it was 4. It was either 4 or 5 for the assist against Fulham.
Edouard's got 2.
Yeah, do you want your 13 to be goal involvements? Is that what you're getting at?
So there's one more game left. There's one more game left.
Player of the year. I went Eze.
Mm-hmm.
Heskip went Zaha, and Albert went Gay. So I think like Gay and Eze were probably in the picture somewhat.
Yeah.
And of course, Heskip and I both voted Decore come the end of the season. So scant consolation.
Oh, it was your fault, was it?
It turns out Albert voted for Johnny Parr as player of the year.
Every year, baby.
Yeah.
The next one is number of clean sheets, to which I need to find the answer. Hang on, bear with. So I went 12.
I think I've got 9. Went,
oh, God, really?
Yeah, I might be.
Albert went 10 and Heskiff went 9. So if I just quickly add them up here. So Vinny's got 6 and Sam Johnston has 3. So a clean sheet against Forest wins it for Albert, otherwise.
So I need a 7-0 Edouard to score them all.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with a 7-1 last minute consolation goal.
Yeah.
As long as Ebbs doesn't assist 3 of them. Because then you're in, you know, you're in trouble.
Heskiff shining a laser in Johnston's eyes when we're 7-0 up.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of this has done, again, is just completely reaffirm that I know fuck all about football, particularly Palace.
I don't think you can be too harsh on yourself there. It's mere speculation, isn't it? It's mere speculation.
And our outrageous predictions of the season.
Well, this is where I know I go very wrong.
Yes, indeed. Do you want to? You remember what it was? It's so bad.
Yeah, mine was Teo's going to win Player of the Year at Coventry. I think got sent home after a game and a half. So. As they march on to the playoff final, didn't really go as I hoped.
Had a decent game against PSV the other night. We'll get into that. Albert, I liked your prediction, your outrageous prediction. It was pretty good. Last 3 fixtures, which being Bournemouth, Fulham, Forest, would decide their fate, which was a nice way to think about it. But yeah, turns out Fulham went mental in the early part of the season and finished quite high up.
Good luck to them.
And Bournemouth did really well. And Forest have.
I'd like to think that they listened to that episode and they thought, do you know what?
We'll show him.
They said, fuck that guy. Hang on a minute. What's that other bloke drinking? Jesus Christ.
And mine was Eze to make the World Cup squad, which didn't quite happen, but he has made the current England squad. Three Palace players in the current England squad. Only United and City have more.
Mad.
Nobody else has as many players as Palace. So, Albert, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Eze's all but deserved it. Very unlucky not to make the Euros, at least the preliminary squad before he did his Achilles. And his form under Hodgson has really deserved that call-up.
Absolutely. I hate to rewind, but I'm going to rewind for 1 second. Talking of predictions being too early, I remember my outrageous prediction last season was Vieira to get fired. So I think I was a bit like you, a year too early with my prediction. Eze in the England squad, he's hit the form at the perfect time, hasn't he? And it's definitely deserved. And we can only be sort of slightly ruining what might have been had he been in the team a bit more under the aforementioned Patrick Vieira. But hey, we have to move on. And let's hope that it's the start of an illustrious England career whilst also playing in the red and blue during the regular season.
Really enjoyed Fulham on the weekend, just before kickoff. They like to play Freed from Desire at Craven Cottage. Didn't quite work out for them, and I thought it might. Didn't research that one well enough, as the away end just went absolutely bonkers singing Eze's name. Beautiful stuff.
Some of us can get a ticket.
Well, you know, parish points, mate.
Yeah.
I got some parish points. I would have to siphon some off to you or something.
It's all right. I had my small victory this week when I moved my seats into two seats that I've been eyeing up for about 2 years. So I'll take that. I'm over a ticket to Fulham.
Why are you
at Vicarage Road?
Hey.
Now, you know when you get the little two seats on their own? Bank of two. Bang. I've been eyeing them up for a while. And
more leg room?
No, we couldn't. Don't know. Just no one next to me except the person who I choose to bring. That's what football's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Community.
Yeah.
Exactly. Other call-ups, I mean, I know Hesketh's just going to echo everything Albert said there about Eze's no point. Harking on, he's just unbelievable. Sam Johnston, I mean, he's been in and around the England squad for a while. Injury obviously kept him at whatever, but he's obviously liked by the current regime and another man who's done well under Hodgson.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. I've got a mate who supports West Brom who said he was surprised it took so long for Johnston to get in, obviously not knowing huge amounts about Guaita. But yeah, since he came in under Roy, I think he's been really, really good. You know, he's had that one blip against Wolves at the end there, but he's made a lot of good saves. Distribution's very good. Got his three clean sheets.
With the clean sheets.
Hey, we had a word. It's the union of Sam, see? I'd
turn it in, will you?
But I think Pope's injured, isn't he? So it makes sense that the next person called up is Johnston, and don't think anyone can really moan about it.
Yeah, his standout game being Leeds away where, you know, laid the foundation for us to annihilate them in the second half.
Yeah.
Some brilliant stops. And, of course, Mark Gay makes up the three. And, I mean, come with some astonishing words from Hodgson saying, if you're not picking him, then you shouldn't be England manager. <It's>
Getting taken and, corners.
And Hodgson would know. Exactly. And it's funny, Albert, because Southgate...
Take the piss here.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of times down the year, Southgate come under a bit of, you'd expect him to look more at Palace players and he hasn't been doing it, but can't be any arguments now. It's the second time in the last year he's put three Palace players in an England squad.
Yeah, all credit to him. I think it's, you know, he gets a lot of flack and I'm not saying it doesn't, some of it doesn't come from me. You know, you look and Harry Maguire is still in the squad, Calvin Phillips is still in the squad, and you know they're not getting any minutes at all for their team. Calvin Phillips had come on last night, so but you know they're not getting any minutes for their team, but they still find themselves picked, and it's always been previous England managers. It's been about the club that you play for, and it has to be said, Roy Hodgson was guilty of that as well when he was the England manager. It was tended to be who you played for rather than how you were playing. But for a lot of the stick that Gareth Southgate gets, he does pick players who are mainly in form, you know, and that doesn't matter if you're playing for City or if you're playing for Palace or anybody else. So it's great to see those players getting rewarded. And I think the initial reaction, I think I saw it on Twitter yesterday, you know, my initial gut is like, oh, these players are going to go away with England and they're going to talk to all these players who play for City, United and Spurs. And that's when, you know, that's when the sort of the whispers start coming and, you know, people start getting unsettled and they want to move to those bigger clubs. But I don't know who it was. Sorry for not crediting this person, but someone on Twitter yesterday said, you know, well, what, you know, why would these players want to force a move away from Palace when they are making it into the England squad? They don't have to necessarily force that move to a top four, top six club, where they might not be guaranteed first team football every week just for the sake of getting into the England squad. So, you know, I think we should be all, you know, we should be proud of those players and proud of our setup that, you know, we've got three players representing a, you know, what is undoubtedly the best sort of England squad setup, however you want to look at it, for quite a while.
I wonder if anyone's working on Elise in the background as well. I don't know if his heart's set on France or what's going on, but I don't think there's any doubt that England should be trying their utmost to get him. You know, I saw some astonishing stats around Elise the other day where alongside his 10 assists, which is like fourth in the Premier League, I think the youngest person ever to get 10 assists in a Premier League season. But on top of that, out of all forwards in the league, he's got the most interceptions and the most tackles. And in modern day football, that's probably what's going to get him noticed more than anything else, is that, you know, it's a part of his game that we felt like probably wasn't going to be there at the beginning when he first joined. And now look at him, he's doing it better than anyone else. It's astonishing, really, his development and his willingness to learn and absorb and, you know, make things happen. Which probably comes from, how can you not be good at it when you're watching Jordan Ayew every week?
Shit hot on the chessboard as well.
He is indeed. Yeah. Table tennis, everything. He's got it all on lock. And interviewing.
Well, oh, yeah. Fair play.
Anything can't do. Not being interviewed.
Triple threat.
Not so good at being interviewed. Better at interviewing. This week I went to the Premier League International Under-21s final at Selhurst against PSV. Not quite the evening I was expecting it to be. I mean, Palace did really, really well, probably deserved it across the 90 minutes, and then just complete legs fell away from them in extra time, and PSV were just fitter. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that team is playing in the second tier of Dutch football and has finished 14th or something in that league. I don't know. We was discussing in the stands. Don't know if that says more about the Dutch second division than anything else, to be honest. But
there's a Dutch second division.
Yeah. And they basically annihilated everyone on the way to the final, and it wasn't that way. But the annoying thing about it was the way that their team behaved, which was just astonishing. Some of the ways that it's like they've been learning how to shithouse from a young age. And it ended up with Phillips clearly offering out their centre back at the end of the game, being like, because the guy, he run 15 yards to get him to Phillips's face and start trying to like take the piss out of him because they'd won the game. Like, why are you coming over here to do that?
Yeah.
And this was after all game long. This guy, multiple times he grabbed Phillips by the throat when the ref or the lino wasn't looking. Like, loads of off the ball sort of stuff going on, like this stepping on feet deliberately, stuff like this. And Phillips just went to him, pointed to the tunnel, And so we'll come in then.
To get into a fight in that tunnel.
Yes. Well, especially considering the away team don't even go down there anymore, do they? They're in the quarter cabins now around the corner.
Yeah, I only learned that. Do you remember when all the footage came out of the Brighton team leaving the field after the draw last season, and there was all
all the commotion.
Who knew? Yeah. One thing we didn't draw off that video was, the away team don't go down the tunnel. You know, it's educational, if anything.
And then a couple of their players properly trying to give it to the fans and sort of just like, maybe I'm too romantic, but I get it at a professional level. Like, it's just become part of the game now, and like it or lump it, it's good. Shithousing happens all over the place, and some people have even love it. It's not for me. And these are kids, like, you know, let them enjoy the last remnants of a youth career where they can have a laugh with football before it becomes a job for them, and a lot of the joy is sucked out of it, and it just becomes a job. You know, it's just, I don't know.
It's not what you expect in the manual of total football from the 70s Dutch legends, is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Total cunts by the sound of it.
Well, I mean, in the last week as well, with the way the Alkmaar Ultras tried to attack a handful of West Ham fans in the Conference League semi-final. I mean, you shouldn't laugh, but the fact that they all got battered by about four West Ham fans is shitting the fact that, A, like, just for them, they've embarrassed themselves massively, but also is something else for West Ham to just go on about how hard they are, annoyingly. But there you go.
Never mind. What I didn't realise, and I can't say I've been following the tournament particularly closely, if it was a final, how comes it was
semi-final second leg?
There you go.
What? Oh, sorry, the PSV or the West Ham?
Yeah, the PSV. No.
It was the final. The final was it was Selhurst. It was. It would have been at Selhurst or PSV's ground. I don't know how it worked out, but yeah, it wasn't. There wasn't a venue for the final.
Right, I see.
It wasn't like Selhurst was the ultimate venue for the final. It was just,
Well,
don't need that fucking main stand. We've got European finals already, Parry.
Yeah, well, as I said, I don't think our pitch is big enough, the dimensions for European finals, to be honest, or any other tournaments. So there you go. Probably not even big enough to get that boxing ring in for that Riyak Poor fight that they want to get done.
Do it in the tunnel.
There's one ringside seat.
You'd have to really master jabs. The 1-inch punch.
Yeah, jabs, 12 round of just little jabs.
Could set the ring up in front of the new Zaha mural outside. Have we all seen this?
Yes.
I mean,
love it.
It's stunning piece of work. It's the main picture being Zaha celebrating Conor Gallagher's equaliser at West Ham last season. Zaha celebrating his second goal against Brighton. And also Zaha, I think, cupping his ears to Watford fans, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, don't feed the conspiracy.
I'm just getting in there before you fuckers.
but being a local resident, this isn't next door, neighbours next door or whatever that website is, but on Facebook and the South Norwood group, this is one of the comments underneath the picture. If anybody in the street approached you with that exact same expression and body language, what would you think was about to happen? Uncontrolled aggression seems to be the new celebration. Celebration should never look like somebody is about to be stabbed. Whatever happens to smiling and looking happy, it's Facebook, mate. Take some dark turns. Not everybody is a football fan, and this image does nothing to improve the image of football or the neighbourhood. Surely it should have been an image that could make anybody smile and give off good vibes that even a non-footy fan could enjoy seeing too. I'd be curious to hear what estate agents make of this and its effect on property prices. I mean,
Tory.
Well, then someone says underneath, my thoughts exactly, sir. To me, it smacks of aggression and promotes knife crime and violence to our youth on the streets. Who on earth gave permission for this? Now, aside from the fact that he's on the corner of a football stadium and is very clearly football related and is very clearly a man who shows a lot of passion being up. So regardless of all that shit, the casual racism flying around. But this second guy who talks about promotes knife crime didn't have to stray too long into his Facebook profile to find the picture that says with his profile, "Let's get Brexit done." Now, for the people listening who did vote Brexit, I'm not saying that everyone who voted for Brexit is a racist, but everybody who's racist voted for Brexit. And this man definitely falls into that category. I mean, it's just astonishing. And mostly, you know, it's probably for me sillily looking for the negative comments as opposed to the good ones. 99% of the people were absolutely like, "This is amazing." And the artwork is incredible. Like zooming on Saha's face, it's just astonishing what they've achieved. And everyone, there's going to be thousands of people taking pictures of that at the Forest game on Sunday. But yeah, just amazing how, you know, something that corner is now becoming, you know, got two amazing piece of artwork on that corner and people are,
I mean, my comment on his comment, number one, don't, if you're calling it footy, then your opinion's invalid.
At least he didn't say soccer.
True. And also no one cares about estate agents' opinions. So that's fine.
Yeah. And as someone said on when I posted this on Twitter, someone underneath said, "If all I need to do is draw a Zaha mural on the side to bring house prices down, I'll get me a spray can." So, yeah, really, really disappointing that those sort of comments are flying around and local newspapers writing articles on those comments as well. Really frustrating that, you know, what should be, you know, who is someone who should and is seen as a very positive role model for kids of the area. You know, Wilfried Zaha is effectively, you know, the absolute epitome of what you can strive to achieve to be from this area. You know, he's literally from a stone's throw away. He's gone to the, well, not the very top, but, you know, that he's playing in the played in the Premier League for 10 years and, you know, is a fantastic man as well and does everything he does with donating his money to charity and all that sort of thing. So for these sort of comments is, yeah, disappointing.
They probably would have preferred a mural of Wayne Hennessy.
Looks like he'll be playing on the weekend. We'll get into a little bit later.
Quick, I've got a quick question on the mural. What mural? What color?
Muriel. Muriel's wedding.
And her wedding.
That's a very specific sort of dyslexic tendency. I don't have dyslexia, but I can't help. Whenever I try to say mural, I always say Muriel. And I'm conscious of it. That was me even trying not to say Muriel, and it still fucking happened. But anyway, let's pretend that didn't happen. What colour do you think that facade will be rolled in when Zaha gets pictured signing his deal at Liverpool in the summer?
It won't. It won't. Because I don't think that will happen anyway. But no, like he's not. If he goes off now, no one's going to hold it against him. If he goes off now and has one stab at something at the end of his career.
Mate, he's got fucking one comment about fucking knife crime and now you're talking about having a stab somewhere else. Fucking you've been poisoned by the fucking Daily Mail Facebook comments.
Yeah. Well, look, anyway, if he does go and it's all of a sudden becomes sour and no one likes Wilf anymore, we could replace it with a mural with Dougie Friedman, whose birthday it is today on the day of recording. So
should text him.
Happy birthday, Sir Douglas.
Or Doug.
Bit late
as
now.
Roy calls him.
Doug.
Doug.
Doug. All the time.
I've never heard anyone call him Doug except Roy. But
Stephen Doug. Well, I mean, whenever I hear Dougie Freeman's name now, I always just think of the BBS conspiracy that Steve Parish planted him onto our podcast show. To reform his character.
What?
Do you not know this?
No.
I'm sure I've told you this before. Yeah, there was a whole BBS thread that Parrish had planted Friedman onto our show to help him reform his character before coming back as director of football?
Well, I'm not going to, but I could screen grab evidence that that's not the case. That was all set up by my mate Jim.
You don't think that you've got the cultural wherewithal to PR spin someone's reputation, Albert? No.
Well, I mean, I have, but it's not something that I like to advertise.
Also, Steve Parrish would have to respond to our fucking messages.
Even Simon Jordan got back to us recently, didn't he? With a big thumbs down.
I probably wouldn't have been wise for him to come on, to be honest. If I was on the show, at least.
We've trod this ground before.
Yes. After him threatening Eddie Hearn with libel the other day on TalkSport. But yeah, so if not, we can just stick a mural up of Dougie. That would do. Stockport, that could be on there.
Reignite that one that featured Dowie that was on the main stand. Can we get that up there?
You mean
then, let's see what fucking happens to the house prices.
Yeah, if you want to clear those residents off for the main stand, that's all you've got to do, isn't it?
Hey, you guys!
You mean Ian Dowie, our all-time best manager of the century?
Bounce back ability.
Talk of people voting with their hearts in a very specific moment. Ridiculous, but there you go. What else? Well, so it has obviously been announced now that James McArthur and Luka Milivojevic will be departing the club when their contracts run out at the end of the season. Who wants McArthur and who wants Luka?
I'll take McArthur because I love him.
Go.
Can I twos up on McArthur with
you can. Well, I mean, I can take Luka briefly if you want. And I mean, I think the last couple of seasons, and without knowing that it's true, probably since his dad died, there's been something shifted in Luka and he's just not been the same since. But so it's easy to remember the walking yellow card of the last couple of seasons and, you know, lots of stray passes and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, you got to remember that for quite a few seasons there, he was the linchpin of our side and, you know, led the team really, really well, was integral in that season when he joined in the January of helping us stay up. He's one player of the year. He's finished top goal scorer in our team a couple of times from defensive midfield. There's a lot he's done. He's won a goal of the season as well. You know, there's a lot he's done for this club. And it's kind of sad that he wasn't able to maintain it all the way through his time here. But and you can tell, you know, in the video that the club released, he goes with the well wishes of the club, very well respected. So big up man like Serbia. It was a pleasure. Thank you for everything you did.
It's easy to, obviously, recency bias, and like you say, just be like, oh, he's a bit slow and he ain't at the level that he was.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And it's easy for that to be what you think about. But like you said, if you think about his career at Palace Hull, he's done way more good than bad. You know, he scored a lot of important goals. He was very passionate. He came in at a time when we needed someone like him in there. And I think they say it, I think it's Mitrovic who says it in the video, but it's like no one, when you came to Palace, really knew anything about you, but now they do. So, yeah.
Throws a good New Year's Eve party.
Apparently so.
I mean, the worst thing Luka ever did was not get Mitrovic into Palace, to be honest. If we had Mitrovic up front, we'd be finishing in the top half of the table comfortably. As long as he isn't pushing referees over and getting banned for 8 games or whatever. But, yeah. So, okay, James McArthur next. Now, this is obviously the easier one of the two because just, you know, a bona fide Palace great. You know, at the top level, it's because you've got to remember this when you're thinking about these players. He has done it at Palace only at the top level for 9 years, where we haven't been in the top level this amount of time anywhere else in our history. So whenever you look at other players who are talked about as greats at Palace, a lot of the time they were doing it in the second division. Which, you know, that gives you some context of how he's managed to do it at that, you know, the very highest level of the game for that long. And again, the outpouring of love and respect in that video of the players. So Will Hughes has become the biggest fanboy ever of him somehow in the space of the 2 years he's been here. But yeah, so Albert, you can start us off. James McArthur.
Well, I didn't like Alan Pardew saying during my regime.
Regime is exactly that the word he would say.
Exactly. That says everything you need to know about Alan Pardew. Wasn't a tenureship. It wasn't it was a fucking regime.
And also, everyone else has left because you alpha dogged it and fucked them all off.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. This isn't meant to be about James McArthur, but that really, that, do you know what? That bit needled me more than the fucking Nigel Pearson bit. That's how bad that was. Anyway, sorry. James McArthur. Well, look, what can I add to what you've already said, Terence? Like, you know, when we signed him, he was part of that McArthur, McCartney, McCarthy. He's like, which one is that? Which one have we signed? Like, and, you know, I can't say I'd watched him a huge amount. I was aware of that sort of Wigan midfield. Obviously, they'd done the things they did. And was it 9 million we paid for him?
Seven, I think, in total.
Seven? Mm-hmm. Seven plus inflation is probably nine.
Fucking going the way they're going.
See what the estate agents reckon he's worth now.
Stick a mural in front of him, it's about
up. Put Muriel next to him and let's see what he can do. But you know, what a player. He seems, you know, like an absolute sort of like sound, decent bloke as well. And I don't know, in my head, he's kind of, and I hate to, bang on about Ted Lasso, he kind of feels like he's our sort of slightly warmer, fuzzier Roy Kent. You know, I think he'll probably appear back at the club at some point in a coaching role. He just seems to be a real stalwart. And like I say, you just got to look at how Will Hughes talks about him. Like, his fucking knees go a bit wobbly. he's been responsible for some great, great moments and a real example of, you know, he's sort of the anti-modern footballer. I really like him.
Perhaps his greatest moment in red and blue coming against Watford.
Yeah. 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 Why not?
I think the thing with Jimmy as well is that he's so underrated by people outside of the club, but everyone who supports Palace and sees him knows how good he is. Like, everyone who's played with him knows how good he is. But fans of other, he's not a player that probably fans of other clubs will think of when they think of Palace. I had someone earlier this year, a mate of a mate after a game, was talking about him, and he was just like, is he any good? Like, I know he's popular, but is he any good? And I was like, yeah, he's fucking brilliant. Like, we know, and it's hard, like, he's not underrated at Palace. He's like, we all know how good he is. And it does him injustice to just be like, you know, he's got good energy and he's a hard worker and that sort of thing. Like, he just does everything really well. And I mean, I've seen some good midfielders. Like, I was lucky enough just about to see Jeff Thomas when I was younger. And we have had some good central midfielders. But like you say, to have someone who's at that level, consistently good at the top level for that amount of time, at a club where we're in turmoil every couple of years, really, there's always something dicking about at Palace. And it's just a bit, you know, it has been a real shame that he's been injured, but it does sound like even when he's not playing, he's as big a part of the club as he is on the pitch. You know, all the talk of the pandemic when the voice you could hear in the stands when there were no fans was MacArthur. How you guys have said the players obviously love him, the staff love him. You know, he just seems like an absolute 10 out of 10 that you would want at your club. So really sad that he's going, but yeah, hopefully he's back at some point in some capacity.
So MacArthur and Luca both won jointly the Chairman's Award at the Player of the Season Awards, which were held at the Clapham Grand Wednesday night. We're recording Wednesday. On Thursday night, Wednesday night. The Corre took home the big one, Player of the Year. Got my vote, got your vote, Hesketh. Did he get yours, Albert?
I mean, it sounds a bit negative, but he wouldn't know. He wouldn't have been my player of the season. That's not to say he's not had a good season and he's not grown into that role, but I think we sort of touched on it, you know, last week about who we thought it might be. And yeah, I'd stick to my pre-season prediction, and not out of obstinance. I would have probably, you know, as I said, I won't repeat it. I feel like the season's sort of very much in three distinguished parts. And I think a player that's been consistent across those three parts was Mark Gahey. And I'd have still plumped for him. I think you could, like I say, you could have made a last minute case for Eze, you know, just out of pure what's happened in the last few weeks. Elise, Zaha, you know, I think Doucouré definitely in the mix, but he probably wouldn't have been in my top three.
I think Palace fans down the years, though, have shown a propensity to like a player like Doucouré. As we say, Luka's won it. Mile Jednak's won it. Mm-hmm. You know, we appreciate that type of player when they do it well. The committed defensive midfielder who gets stuck in. And then when you add into the mix that he can pass the football as well, you know, it's nice. So
I think, sorry to just jump in, but obviously I'm a massive fan of this, but I said this on Twitter, but we have a lot of people talk about our young team, and they always mention, like, you know, I guess Ty, Elise, Gaye. No one really mentions Doucouré as a young player, but he's only just turned 23, which is still pretty young. So for him to be as all-rounded and as confident as he has been this season, I think, like, I just think there's so much more to come as well. So I'm pretty excited for the next few years if he stays around.
Yeah, definitely. Elise effectively cleaned up the awards. He took Players' Player of the Season, which I don't know if you haven't seen it, go and search it out on the socials of the video where they're all voting for Players' Player of the Season at the training ground. And just, are you just absolutely annihilating Will Hughes for just no reason, seemingly no reason whatsoever? No, probably not, because Will Hughes probably seems like the kind of player who likes to give it all the time in the training ground.
Yeah.
But are you just casually sitting there going, I've already won one, mate. You weren't here. You were at Watford getting relegated. Complete annihilation. The only sad thing about it was that the camera didn't go back to Will Hughes' face. I would love to have seen what has happened on his face.
I take some comfort in knowing that there's other people copying undeserved Watford associated flack.
Well, at least Will Hughes is actually there at Watford getting relegated. There was no lies said out of Ayu's mouth.
This is true.
And further reinforced my happiness that my daughter's middle name is Jordan after Jordan Ayew. Another tick in the box. Gyro also catching some strays, and Chris Richards of all people as well, just being like, well, I know it won't be. Poor Gyro's face, he actually looks sad. But you know, it's not the worst thing that the Dutch have produced in the last few weeks.
I mean, Gyro's just lucky to be featured in the fucking video, let alone.
Exactly.
I genuinely would love it, though, if Gyro went into the voting thinking he was in with a chance of getting the award. And Richards. Yeah.
What do you mean we can't vote for ourselves?
Not players' player. I mean, we could have try to get some campaign going to get him player of the year for the Lulls. But Elise also took home goal of the season. I think that vote was basically fucked by the last home game where,
yeah,
I mean, I think it was probably a close run thing between Elise and Zaha, as we discussed previously, but Eze's second goal last weekend is just, well, who was we playing? I forget who we're playing now.
Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mean,
what I would say in defence of Elise's free kick is that it was on my birthday.
And it was last minute. It was an equaliser. It was against Manchester United. There's a lot going for it. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot going for it. But just the whole thing about Eze's second goal against Bournemouth was just...
Yeah.
It was just fucking delicious, man. Loved it.
Delish.
And
Eze could have had his own category for Eze goal of the season. Yeah. We could have his goals have been recently.
Exactly. I mean, even he's first in that game against Bournemouth as well, when you're factoring a team move of it, 26 passes, every outfield player touching the ball. You've got the filthiest of filthy Cruyff turns from Zaha, sending three players over to that little tight tunnel in the corner.
Very aggressive, though. Very aggressive.
It was a very aggressive Cruyff turn, yes.
Actively promoting fucking shoplifting, that was. Yeah. Fucking.
He then stabbed the ball across to Jordan Ayew. Yeah. Who backheeled it?
I can't believe that. I cannot believe that. That's fucking outrageous.
Indeed. But yeah, Elise did take home a third award, and this I am not standing for. It's a fucking disgrace.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That day, not Upton Park, London Stadium, it was a laugh. Like, Elise scoring that goal was fucking brilliant, and it was good. But in terms of what Mateta's goal against Leicester did for our season.
Yeah.
It's like a season defining turning moment. Like, it sent Salah, you know, let's say, I think at the time he said it was since Schlupp against Bournemouth on that night when we went down to 10 men. There just hasn't been a goal that created that buzz at Salah for ages. And I just don't know. I just don't know how Elise's moment has won it, other than people just looking at the voting list and just clicking everything that said Elise.
Well, it was a socio's goal moment of the season or something, wasn't it? There's only, it was probably about 10 people fucking voted. But yeah, that Mateta, like you say, I was at both games. That the West Ham goal was great. It's always funny taking the piss out of West Ham fans as well. But yeah, the Mateta got, like, the eruption when that went in, that Mateta goal was fucking unbelievable. Like, and the buzz stayed. And it's just like, you know, just like the buzz of, like, in the grand, yeah, it did switch our season up, absolutely. And you would say realistically it was just sort of a game against Leicester, but like the buzz of that goal stayed for ages. So yeah, he was absolutely robbed of that. Poor JP can't catch a break, can he?
Can't
head a ball. I don't care if he can fucking catch anything.
As I said, he hasn't been that mugged off since Zaha was leaked talking about Harry Kane. obviously a lot more awards took place. I didn't listen down, so I apologise. You can go and find the list. You don't need me to tell you what happened at the Player of the Year. But Danny Young announced that he'll be leaving the club. And that's another character in the background who, you know, it seems like he's going to be a big loss down the years. Even his appearances on both the videos for McArthur and Luca were just, you know, you can just tell the guy has good vibes, you know. So going to be a sad miss. So, it's weird. I was watching when they were showing the Christian Ball highlights recently because it was, you know, anniversary, number of years, whatever, he's on the bench celebrating the goals. It's like you just forget how long he's been around, you know,
under the Pulis regime.
Indeed. The regime. Brown envelopes in his shorts and things like that. But no, so,
And the rest.
No, I was just going to say it was good to see Ozo get the, I don't know what they called it, 21 player of the year, young player of the year.
Under 21s,
because he's been brilliant this season, and it was really good for him to get his debut against Newcastle in that game. I think he's going to be a, I think he's going to be an absolute beast of a player when he's older, so good for him.
Yeah. Having watched him the other night, I do worry about his pace a little bit, but also worth pointing out, I guess, that Omolabu was released yesterday as well, which seems a bit of a shock to some, I guess, after considering the season he had a couple of seasons ago, but it's not really kicked on for him. He is a very small kid still. So, yeah, shame. Hopefully he'll go on and be able to forge a career for himself in football. But, yeah. Okay. We should probably talk about Forest. So, Nottingham Forest, away record this season, played 18, won 1.
Oosh.
Drawn 4, lost 13. With a goal difference of minus 33, having only scored 10 goals away from home this season. And it's not, even of their recent upturn in form, it's all at home. Their last 8 away games are 7 losses, 1 draw. So, Jesus.
Look at Eskiff's face.
Eskiff, yeah, you're confident that your 11th prediction is in the bag. 11th position. God,
I'm so conflicted.
Well, I mean, it is weird. I mean, the job, everyone says Steve Cooper's done a great job, and he probably has a lot of people who seem to want him for the Palace job. But yeah, I mean, but that away record is astonishingly bad, to be honest. Only one win. It's like us in 97-98 at home.
Rough.
Oh, we got 2 wins that year, didn't we? So even that. But yeah, so 7 of the last 8 away from home, they've lost. But first visit to Selhurst since 2012 promotion season. Do you remember that game? I remember this game because it fucked me right off at the time. It was when we would, we'd picked up form-wise and we were basically battering everyone. And KG went for a little mini scoring run. But we, played him off the park. Guediora got sent off for kicking Jednak. And and then Dexter Blackstock equalised right at the end. With that, literally, it was 1-1. It was the only time they got out of their half, basically. They scored, yeah, frustratingly. But, yeah, mad, isn't it? Club as big as Forest stuck down there for as long as they were. Don't want to get relegated back to that division, that's for sure. So, as we're saying, the prize is 11th place finish and finishing above the self-professed pride of London, Chelsea Football Club. Only West Ham letting the London team down of Chelsea not having that last place of London clubs in the Premier League. But Albert, with given Forest's record, do you feel like we should be confident of winning the game? But now that everything's off their shoulders, might be seeing a different Forest side who can play with a bit more freedom away from home, or just still think we should wipe the floor with them?
I don't think we'll. I'd like to wipe the floor with them. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think we will. You know, for all intents and purposes, it's a bit of a dead rubber of a game, isn't it? They're safe. You know them. You know, even them losing doesn't even have a knock on effect to anybody else. Surviving, shame. We'd love to put Everton down in any. If anyone can figure out a way of it being possible, I'm all for it. Let's get Everton down. Last game of the season. Who knows? It could be a really boring 0-0, or it could be a right humdinger of a 3-3 because no one gives a fuck and everyone just wants to go out and play some exciting football. So, you know, I think it's all things considered, I think everyone going should just enjoy the day. Obviously, Zaha's not playing. I assume he'll be there in some capacity and be
to announce his new contract.
Aggressively.
No. I mean, just so you know, he will not be doing that. get out of your heads. He's changing. Say, he's changing agent on the 4th of June. So I'm sure no
again.
Deal. No, yeah, again, yeah. So no deal would be taking place for him before the 4th of June. You won't be finding anything out anytime soon. So
imagine, like, if you're his new agent, and you're like, someone's putting 200 grand on the, you feel like, imagine if like, yeah, just sign that.
Like, sign that one, yeah.
Yeah, just sign that one. Thanks very much. Yeah.
But I'm sure that's going to be structured in a different way. Going to a new agent is not going to be based on the deal you can get me financially. It's going to be based on the deal you can get me at the club you can get me, you know?
Yeah, of course. But no, I did wind up my dad and my, but I sent a message to my Palace group with my dad and my brother and my mate, dad's mate Jim, saying Roy and Wilf to sign 1 year extensions on the pitch at half time. my dad totally bit. Really? yeah. No, I think we just have to, you know, who knows? It's a weird time. We don't know if Roy's going to stay. We don't know if it's the last we'll see of Roy again. So yeah, who knows? And anything can happen. What is nice is that there's nothing riding on it, and we can just enjoy the team we've got, and hopefully see a display that's in the form that we've been showing the last few weeks against teams of Nottingham Forest's caliber. No disrespect to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, well, just Roy continuing his record against teams below him in the league, which is, you know, although in failing to beat Fulham the other day, it did mean that we've gone the whole season without beating a team who was above us in the league at any point when we played.
Mad, that's my though. Kind of stat, that is. I love that.
It's not even like, couldn't even manage it opening game of the season in alphabetical order or anything. There you go. Funny old season. And, you know, we beat Forest on the weekend. We've finished only 2 points short of our best ever Premier League total.
Mad, isn't it?
Such a very, very bizarre season.
I think the thing to say, though, about Roy as well is, in the past, he has sort of let the shackles off a little bit towards the end of the season. I think you mentioned it a few weeks ago, Terence. You know, remember the Bournemouth 5-3, and then there was a game where we went to Cardiff away, battered them, but only won 3-2. I think he just seems to be a bit like, okay, we're good, we're safe, let's just have a good time.
Play ball, rival. Yes. Yeah, I mean, so if we do beat Forest and we end on 47 points, just too shy of our all-time top flight record, or Premier League record, sorry. Everyone still thinks this is a really disappointing season regardless of what happens, but, you know, only 2 points off our record total feels, again, it's probably comes down to, with the caliber of players we have, you can't help but feel disappointed, because we know now, particularly in the last, you know, 10 games, that Eze wasn't being utilised properly for the whole season. Elise wasn't being utilised properly for the whole season. We don't have a number nine of any decent calibre. Like there's, you know, we've got players in and around. We all know where the holes are. You feel like, you know, we can step it on next season to really kick on. But I guess a lot of that's going to come down to who the manager is and, you know, we'll see. We've talked enough about whether you give it to Roy or not, in terms of, do you want to give in this crop of players? You want to add in a couple more and give them to Roy? Maybe he's earned it. Who knows? But I do kind of subscribe to the thing that I think that if he wasn't going to sign another year, I think we'd be finding out about it a la MacArthur and Luca. So I get the impression there's going to be another year. I don't know why. That's based in nothing, just speculation. I think we'll get another year.
Yeah, and I don't think it's been, I think on paper, I think you can't say it's been it's not been a disappointing season on paper, for the reasons you've just pointed out, the points total, where we finished. I think for me, and this wouldn't be a sort of an overriding feeling, but I think sort of emotionally it's been a disappointing season because of you know, last season was so good. It felt like a real, and this is going to sound anti-Roy, and it's not, but it was such a sort of new dawn under Vieira. The players we signed, the investment we made, the new style, it just felt like, here we are. This is it for the next 3-4 years. And we're, you know, we're on a really decent upward trajectory, albeit a very steep one because it changed so quickly, you know. So I think it's been, I think it's disappointing in that sense. But, you know, we've still got the players that we've got. The points have been good. We're very fortunate that there's been some really, really, really fucking dire teams below us over the course of the season. But you can only, you know, we all played the same amount of games against the same teams, and we've managed to, like you say, finish nearly 2 points, only 2 points off our best total, hopefully. So, no, it's not been a disappointing season. But I think we all, in our, you know, coming into the second season under Vieira, I think we all probably held higher sort of aspirations than what's unfolded, you know, even though it's ended up quite positively under Roy for the last, you know, 10, 11 games.
Well, I mean, there's also the kind of underlying, I guess it's facts, but we had the most difficult run of fixtures of any team by a humongous long shot. We kept playing, when you look at average points per game of when you were playing these teams, we just kept catching everyone when they was at their peak in form, which was a bit, you know, which is a crazy kind of, I guess you're just unlucky, right? Because the fixture schedule was just made how it is and no one can know at that time. But yeah, we just kept catching everyone at the wrong time, except from now at the back end of the season, we've kind of caught up in that sense and probably again, just falling out where we always fall out, sort of between 10th and 12th, basically, which I guess makes it that disappointing sense, because we all do feel like, as Albert was just saying, we were promised basically this is when we would be kicking on, you know, we should expect to be looking up the table. So we live in hope of next season.
For what it's worth, I thought we were going to finish 11th. So.
Yeah. Seventh is next year. The only other thing, Kiate and Hennessy will be back. I think Kayla Navas is injured. I think Henderson's still injured, so Hennessy likely to be in between the sticks. Do you reckon he'll get a shit reception or just a polite reception? I think it'll be a polite, indifferent reception. Yeah. I'd imagine.
I don't think he's going to get booed. I don't think anyone. I don't think anyone really cares, do they? I don't.
No. And probably similar for Kiate, a polite splattering of applause.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Fuck him up.
Exactly. Hopefully you just commit a massive error that we score from. Okay, all that's left then is final predictions of the season for the results. After everything is said and done, Hesketh's going to still end on a 1-1 draw.
Oh, I was going to say 1-1. 2-2.
2-2, so yeah, I'm not predictable. And Albert?
I was going to say 2-2, but I'm going to go with...
you need us to have a 7 sheet, didn't you?
7-0. 7-0, Edouard, goal with scorers, all 7.
Goal scorer, as you say, one goal scorer, and it's Hilton Edouard.
I will go 2-0. 2-0 Palace. Wrap it up. Get 11th place. Nice. Hold on to that extra couple of mil. It's important.
Yep.
Exactly.
Those murals don't pay for themselves, you know.
They don't indeed. Don't delve too far into that artist's Instagram because you will find a picture of him in a Brighton shirt. But it was when he was doing a mural for Brighton, so he's not a Brighton fan. I mean, to pay a Brighton fan to draw that picture would be some kind of piss take.
Why is he cross-eyed?
Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so that's it for the season from the preview team. Albert's giving us a round of applause there. I mean, it had its ups and downs like the season. Albert.
Hesketh's just got up and fucking walked out. You've seen that? He's like, done.
Albert's at early season holiday spree.
Didn't have one.
Hesketh losing the yellow C unit post-it note halfway through the season, but has now found it.
I found it. I'm showing Albert.
Me pissing off to Milan to get sick. But no, thanks for everyone who continues to listen to us. I don't know why you're mental. Do something better with your time. But thank you. We appreciate every one of you. We plan to be back next season, we think. A resounding building of confidence there.
Can I just say I'm getting a new agent on the 4th of June, so I'm not gonna commit to another year
I'm
on this.
Halfway through the mural of your face, Albert. Do I bother finishing it?
Well, I've got Herb Saha getting me a 5-year contract on extortionate money, so
Are you painting that mural on your arse, Hester? Is it my face on your arse?
Yeah, the other cheek might be Troy Deeney if you don't sign the team.
really appreciate all of you for listening, and as I say, we plan on being back for next season. So, look for us in August, I guess. Maybe we'll do some preview pods for the American games, which we'll try and convince Backerness to send us to. Get on the blower to Talk Sport. We need to go out here.
Let's do it. Or shit stream. Sit around a laptop on a shit stream in Hesketh's. I nearly said wanking den. Because people can't see what I can see.
Well, what can you see? Nothing. I'm just sat still.
It's all that raunchy comic work on the walls behind is what
just,
it is.
Yeah, it's the moody lighting.
Yeah.
Okay, there will be one more match report for the season against Nottingham Forest, and I'm sure those guys will also pump out some kind of end of season pod as well, so look out for that. I assume DR will just go full pelt on YouTube throughout the entire off season, to be honest. So
live stream.
youtube.com/backofthenest for that. So we'll be back next season. So until then, up the pants.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.